Moving along here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch joined by Rocco Nucci. And it's time now for us to head back to the hotline as we welcome in David Pritt, North Ridgeville's Director of Curriculum and Instruction. David, as always, we appreciate you giving us a few moments of your time. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's great to be back here with you.
Well, you guys have made some interesting news, that's for sure, and we're going to come back around to that in just a moment. Before we get into the news, let's begin with something that kind of prompted all of this, and that was, you know, not too long ago, the school district sent out a survey to parents, and you guys were kind of curious as to, you know, what the parents and students were thinking about the upcoming school year. So what were some of the questions involved in this survey that you guys sent out?
Yeah, so really we wanted to gauge parents' comfort level in coming back to school. So the first half of our survey really focused on scenarios like that. What's your comfort level with your student being in a classroom? What's your comfort level with the student being on a school bus, in the lunchroom? That was really the first part of that. And then the second piece we looked at was kind of, you know, if schools open in the fall, you know, what works for you as far as a schedule goes? You know, we all want to be back in school full-time, full session like normal. If that's not a possibility and we need to look at creative scheduling, you know, what does that look like for you? Does alternating days work better for you if we can't do every day? Does a couple days in a row work better for you, or an AM, PM? You know, what does that look like for you? So those are really the two big pieces that we were hoping to get from parents. And actually, we had great response. We got over 2,100 responses from our families.
Well, let's dive into some of those responses if we can as well. I know that there was certainly an overwhelming response about the continuation of learning online or being given the option of going to school in the traditional form and fashion, but we'll come back around to that in a second. Outside of that, what was really kind of the overwhelming response that you got from parents?
Sure. So it was really split. So we've got a pocket of parents that are very comfortable with their kids coming back, you know, full steam. And then we've got a large population of parents, about 20% of parents, who said, you know, I'm just not comfortable with my student returning, whether that's because of the virus itself or because there's not a vaccine or maybe the student might have a pre-existing condition. So right around 20% of our parents said, you know, we're not comfortable with them returning. And then that number, based on the situation, actually grew a little bit. So about 23% of our parents said, you know, I'm comfortable with my kids coming back, but I'm not necessarily comfortable with them being in a classroom. You know, 32% of our parents said, I'm not comfortable with my student being in a lunchroom. You know, and that number went all the way up to 35% with, you know, I'm not comfortable with having my student ride a bus. So we needed to look, you know, at that and decide how are we going to handle these students to make sure they're getting an appropriate education.
So having said all of that, let's get into the new plan that you guys have unveiled or are in the process of unveiling, and that's the idea of parents and students looking at the option of continuing to learn online, going the virtual route, and also being given the opportunity to go into school the way, you know, we're all used to seeing kids go to school. So in the early stages of all this, how do you anticipate all of this working in the fall?
Sure. So when we collected, one of those questions that we asked was, would you be interested in an online component? And just under 25% of our parents said, yes, absolutely. If an online component is offered, you know, we're interested in that. You know, we have about another 26% of parents, so almost half our parents between those two said, you know, I'm not sure, I'd like to hear more about it. So knowing where those numbers are, we recognize that we need to continue that online component for students who opt into it. So on Monday, we actually launched an open registration for parents who have decided that, you know, they don't want their students returning in the fall. So this week, we've started collecting those responses. We've also been meeting with our teachers to kind of sketch out what that looks like and who teacher-wise might have an interest in teaching online in the fall. Because we recognize that some teachers are more comfortable in teaching online, others are more comfortable teaching in the class. So that's really the first steps that we're working through. So that opened on Monday. We've had 120-some parents who have already signed up and said, yes, definitely, I'm going to do the online with my student. We're offering some sessions a little bit later here for parents to kind of find out some more information about the program itself. For that, we've already got a couple hundred parents registered to attend those webinars to find out more about the program. We expect these numbers are going to grow. One of the things we can't tell parents right now is, if they're not doing online, what the return to school looks like. So So we're still waiting for guidance from the health department, from the CDC, from the governor's office. Governor on Monday said that he hopes to have that information to districts within the next 10 days. And I think once that information comes in and we can give the full line of options from staying completely online to whatever our return looks like based on the guidance that we get, I think that number at that point in time will increase. Because I know I've got a lot of parents who have said, you know, if masks are not required, then I'm going to do online with my child. And I've got parents who are saying if masks are required, I'm going to do online with my child. So it's a matter of finding out what those guidelines, what we're going to be able to do, and I think those numbers at that point in time, I expect will bump up significantly.
Again, we're being joined on the hotline by David Pritt, North Ridgeville's Director of Curriculum and Instruction. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You had mentioned a few moments ago that a little bit later on this month, you guys will offer a series of webinars for parents to learn more about how this is all going to work, to give them a better idea as to how they'd like to move forward, whether they want to continue to send the kids to school in the traditional way or do the online learning route. Well, what kinds of things will be involved in this webinar or these series of webinars?
Yeah, so the idea behind that is to kind of sketch out the program for parents. So parents need to recognize, you know, that this is a program for our students pre-K through 12. You know, it's something for parents to recognize that students of all abilities are able to join in. So one of the questions we asked about students with disabilities or students who might be gifted, to recognize that we are going to continue to service those populations as we move forward. We'll talk a little bit about what a schedule might look like for a student across the course of the day. We ended under a blended format in the fall with some online. You know, this is going to be more structured. So one of the questions from parents has been providing direct instruction, as opposed to maybe a student watching a video and answering some questions about it. So those will be the type of things that we're discussing with parents, what a schedule might look like. We're going to talk about what the commitment length is. We ask our parents when they fill out the form to at least commit to the first semester. And then in November, we'll ask for a commitment for the rest of the year so that we can do the planning necessary for that. When you have students online, that affects transportation, it affects food services, it affects scheduling of teachers. So we'd like to get them the information they need. Hopefully, we can provide them with the information about what a normal school year might look like if they return to a building, that they just make the best educated decision for them and their families.
What's going to be interesting, too, is to take a look at how this affects every grade level. And I'm sure you guys have already kind of taken a look at some options there. How do you think that will work? You know, as opposed to, you know, the high school level where, you know, it seems like doing the online thing might be a little bit easier in some cases than maybe what goes on at the elementary school level. How do you think that will change from one grade level to the next?
So what's been interesting for us, at least from the online survey that we've offered to parents, is, you know, the interest in online really spreads across grade level. It really is a pre-K-12 initiative. So the challenges for us is, you know, you look at the need, if the need is there for continued social distancing, you know, that looks very different in an elementary grade level, you know, a kindergarten grade level, a first grade level, than it does at the high school level. You know, we've got some unique challenges in the district, as I think a lot of places do with our high school. We've talked before when we've been on the show about the spacing and the crowdedness that we already have there. So those are some of the things that kind of drive these decisions as we move forward. You want to get your younger kids into the school setting, get them acclimated to the school setting. That socialization piece is huge at those levels. You know, at the high school level, it's a little bit different. But that socialization is just as important. You know, it's the Friday night football game. It's the homecoming dance. It's those type of activities. So how do you provide a learning environment that's safe for both students and staff? And that's really the challenge that we face all through this. So, you know, we have, I like to say, plans A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. And, you know, as soon as we get directions out from the state, we'll figure out which of those models works best for what we're able to do. And those will be the decisions that we'll have to make and we'll roll out to families. Because we recognize, you know, if we're not back 100% full-time in the fall, you know, families need to be able to account and make arrangements for that. There's child care concerns. There's the same concerns with our staff. So we're, you know, planning for the best that we can, and then we'll move forward from there.
You know, funny, here we sit today, probably about 2 or 3 years removed from our first conversation when we were talking about the brand new academic center. And one of the comments that you made to us on the show at that time was how the academic center was kind of a look into how everything is changing in education. And while I think we can plan only so much for how much change is actually going to come in education, I really don't know that anybody could have anticipated this. But, you know, while the academic center is wonderful for so many reasons, I think having something like that already in place certainly helps give you guys at least a little bit of flexibility moving forward, does it not?
Oh, it absolutely does. You know, the flexibility that we built in with movable walls and things like that really lends itself well to being able to socially distance the classroom if we have to. I don't know how many conversations I've had with colleagues, with other administrators about the flexibility that the academic center provides us that, you know, other districts simply don't have. When you've got cinder block walls, you know, you can make do with the space that you have. We're fortunate enough that we can open up walls, we can create larger spaces. You know, I think in that regard, I think we're well ahead of the curve in what most places are able to do. But you're absolutely right. This is not something any of us saw coming, but I think we have positioned ourselves well to be able to adjust and deal to this. Trying to do the online piece 5 years ago would have been incredibly difficult, you know, before we went one-to-one with devices for students. But yeah, the academic center certainly provides us flexibility that I think a lot of places would like to have right now.
And in some of our other conversations, you know, both with you and many other educators all across the county, it's been really, really interesting to try and find out how much they think this pandemic is going to push things forward a little bit as far as taking advantage of online learning. And that, of course, affects every community a little bit differently because some are certainly capable of doing it. Others just don't have the tools at their disposal to continue this. But pandemic or no pandemic, I think what you guys have rolled out is certainly a glimpse of what we could possibly expect in the future. And, you know, you told us from day one, David, that, you know, education is constantly changing, and it certainly seems as though what we experienced this past spring, that could be a nice little foreshadowing to what we could expect in the next 5 years in education.
Yeah, we've certainly had that discussion, and, you know, none of us like being forced into what happened in the spring, but I do think, you know, there are going to be positives that come out of it. You know, our teachers are much more comfortable working with technology now than they might have been, you know, 5 months ago, despite all the professional development and things that we've done around technology. You know, we can provide options now that simply just weren't available. You know, our mission statement is about allowing students to work towards their preferred future, and I think this allows us to do that. You know, we can reach students now. We had some students that had great success with the online learning. It wasn't for other students. Prior to that, we didn't have an option. Everybody kind of got the same, you know, educational experience. But being able to offer these options, I think, is a good thing, and I think it's going to be a good thing moving forward. The big question I think we're waiting to see is we do this, we get our students signed up, everything goes well. You know, what happens from a year from now? Does that demand still stay to have an online program? And if so, how do we continue to support that moving forward? So I do think there'll be good things that come out of the pandemic. It certainly, you know, has forced us to make some of these changes that we've been trying to make for a long, long time.
No doubt about it. It has certainly forced us all to be a little more creative and a little more resourceful indeed. We will certainly sit down and do this again in the fall when we have a much better idea as to what kind of a path this pandemic is going to take. But as always, David, we appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you, David. Again, that's David Pritt, North Ridgeville Director of Curriculum and Instruction, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to step aside and take a break. We will return after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.